Good morning. Today's daf Bava Metzia's Chaf Tes. We are on Chaf Ches Amud Beis. We're in the second paragraph of Bava Metzia, the mitzvah of returning a lost item. We have spent a considerable amount of time now discussing this mitzvah. Vayter, we continue with the discussion of this mitzvah. We are on Chaf Ches Amud Beis. There are two mishnayos. We're on the top mishnah. Mishnah starts off Amar Es Aveda V'lo Amar Simanel Lo Yiten Lo. Okay, so you're able to identify that you lost an item, but you're unable to give any one of the simanim. We had a discussion the last couple of days whether or not simanim are deraisa de rabbanan. Simanim is any marker, any telltale sign that the item belongs to you, something unique and individual about the item that you can go ahead and identify. We already went through the categories of simanim. There's a siman muvak, there's a siman beinani, and there's a siman garua. Not exactly the lashon of the Gemara, but it's good. It's a good way to think about it. It's a good way to organize the information. Siman garua, like let's say for example, you tell them what color it is. It's a siman garua. It's not that exciting a siman. So you're not going to get back the item by identifying that siman. If it's a siman muvak, so that is an absolute ironclad identification marker. Like let's say for example, the recognition of a person's face, that's a siman muvak, and for sure you can go ahead and identify siman beinuni. So that's a big part of the discussion of the Gemara, and it's a machlokus whether or not it's if that operates min haTorah or if that's midrabbanan. Whether or not simanim do in fact work. Okay, so our mission over here notes the following. It seems to be very straightforward. Amar saveda v'lamar simaneha. So you're able to identify, yeah, I lost an item, but that's it. That's the only thing you can identify. I can't give you...
I don't have my name in there.
Right. So if it's a generic... If it's a generic item, it doesn't have a simon, so... Now you're correct. You don't have to give it back. In other words, then we assume yeyush. Good, that's what we've been discussing. So the v'lo amar simanel lo yiten lo. So if he can't identify simanim, so then don't give it to him. V'haramai. Now, at this point in time, in the perek, we knew that already. Obviously, the Mishnah is setting us up for the next point, which is, what if a person gives simanim, but you are suspicious? For good reason. Haramai. V'haramai afa pisha amar simanel lo yiten lo shenemar ad derosh achicha uso. Ashitish roshas achicha im ramai hu im ein ramai. Now, hopefully this should sound familiar because we quoted this Mishnah early in the parak, but here's the Mishnah inside. And that is that when I have a Ramai, so at that point in time, I can't give it to him, even if what the Ramai is providing for me is, in fact, Simanim. Still, I can't give it to him. Itmar, Rav Yehuda Amar Avedas HaMachriz, Rav Nachman Amar Glima Machriz. Get to a very practical machlokas here in the second parak, and that is, you found an item and now you're announcing it to everybody. What are you announcing to everybody? It's a great question. So do you announce to the world at large? Let's start with Rav Yehuda. So according to Rav Yehuda, what you announce to the world at large is that I found a lost item. It's not a lot of information. And according to Rav Nachman says, no, you'll tell everybody what you found. You obviously won't give away the siman. That the siman is going to have to be given to you by its owner in order to properly identify it. But at least you tell everybody what you found. I found a coat. I found a pair of shoes. I found a ring. So Rav Yehuda Amar Beda Samachriz Diamar Glima Machriz Chayshin L'Ramai. Now Rav Yehuda says, look, I feel that we should just simply announce that I found a lost item. Because once you tell the world what you found, so then they're going to come and the Ramai is going to come and he's going to claim it. What about a simon? He'll guess what the simon is. In other words, in order to try to create more preventative, more security measures, so Rav Yehuda says, just simply announce, I found a lost item. Rav Nachman Amar Glima Machriz, Lo Ramai Lo Chashin, and Dim Kenein L'Davar Sof. Now Rav Nachman says no, meaning if you're worried about the Ramai, look, the Ramai is going to Ramai. That's what a Ramai does. So and now instead of saying that I found a lost item and identifying what the lost item is, meaning. I lost a coat, I lost a pair of shoes. Instead of that, you're going to simply say, I found a lost item. So, and you're worried about the Ramai. Ramai's got his ways. And Ein L'Davar Sof. And this exercise, this thought exercise, simply doesn't have an end to it. Well, let's worry about this, let's worry about that, let's worry about that. In other words, no. We'll operate with a certain system. And okay, there are going to be people who are going to beat the system. There are going to be people like that. But in other words, but just let's create a nice, straightforward system, right? Somebody lost a coat. Say, I found a coat. Tanan Amar. Okay, good. So we have a machlokas amarayim, and that is when you in fact find something, and you're going to be machriz that you found something. Do you just simply announce, I found an item, a lost item, or do you actually tell everybody what the item is, kind of help people along in terms of, you know, finding its original owner. Tanan, let's go back to our Mishnah. Amar, es avid of Allah, amar simana arizelo yiten lo. Okay, our Mishnah says, the person comes along and says, yeah, that was the Aveda, but he was unable to provide the simanim. Iyamar bishlama Aveda tamach kriz hakamashmalan, af agav da amar glima, kilamar simanim la majinan lay. In other words, it makes a lot more sense that the Mishnah is siding with the Shita Rav Yehuda. In other words, Aveda tamachris, found a lost item. And the person says, oh, my coat happened to have been a coat. Now you understand the Mishnah has a chiddush. Mishnah is tremendous chiddush. Great. Okay, you properly identified it was a coat. Do you have any simanim? Anything about the coat you can tell me that will properly identify that it's yours? That's exactly the point of the Mishnah. If he can't provide the simanim, you're not going to give it to him. But let's think about the Mishnah from the context of Rav Nachman. According to Rav Nachman, what are you announcing to the world? I found a coat. Somebody comes along and says, I lost a coat. Okay, great. That's great. What a great conversation. Okay, great. Can you give me some simanim? No. So the Gemara says, Amar iu glima v'amar iu glima. Sricha lamemar, kilo amar simanim lo mahadrinale. At that point in time, like the Mishnah is so basic. It's so obvious. I found a coat. Oh, I lost a coat. Okay, great. And then and that's it? And I can't provide simanim? And that's what the Mishnah is teaching me? So Amar Rav Safra, lo olam glima machriz. Amar yu glima v'amar yu simanim. Umay lo amar simanim. Lo amar simanim amovakim dida. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. That, no, the way to understand, you can understand the Mishnah using Rav Nachman. And that is, the announcement was, I found a coat. And the owner, right, the alleged owner comes and says, oh, I lost a coat. Good. Can you give me simanim? And he's able to give kind of like very basic, simple simanim. Maybe it's color. In other words, rudimentary. Or as we introduced again today, simanim guruim. Like, in other words, not very exciting simanim. If you can't give good simanim, then don't give it back to him. That's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. Okay, good. Okay, in other words, once upon a time, so people were just simply more honest. So you found an item, the owner comes and claims it and provides it someone, and you give it to him, and it was nice and simple. Life once upon a time was simple, says the Braisa. Misha Rabu Aramai Mitkushina Ishiwarmim Lotsevave Aidim Dalav Ramai at Vitol. However, along comes now the Ramayim. Okay, in other words, just it's the way society just it kind of the deflation of society. So more Ramayim in the world. And at that point in time, I now have to go ahead and do a background check on you. Are you a good person? Are you honest? Are you somebody who has in the past been a Ramayim? How do you do a background check on people? So the Gemara is going to give us a story. So he lost the donkey. They found the donkey. Okay, so they go to Rav Abba Rav Huna and they said, okay, we need to do the background check. Okay, sorry. And mind you, by the way, the father of Papa, not nobody. Okay, but okay, we got to do a background check. So zil isisade de la ramai avato. Azil isisade, so that's exactly what he did. Amr lohu, yiditum be de ramaihu. Now, it's going to be a fun exchange, right? They say to the witnesses who are providing a background check for the father of Papa, the father of Papa is not a ramai. Now, again, by the way, like, or whatever. It's a security measure. The question that was posed to him is, that, hey, this person over here, father of Papa, is he a ramai? So Amrle in. So the Adam said yes. Now the whole purpose of bringing the Adam was so that they would say no, he's not a Ramai. So Amrlehu ana Rama ana. So the father of Papa said, "What? I'm sorry. What did you Adam say that I am a Ramai? I brought you in here into the court in order to give myself a good background check. What are you doing?" So Amrulay, Anan Lover my Ad Kamrinan. Oh. So the Adam said, we didn't hear the question correctly. Meaning we thought the question was, is it true that he's not a Ramai? And that's what we were confirming. In other words, we just didn't hear the question correctly. Good.
But they didn't pose the question the right way.
Or they didn't hear it. Either way. So I'm Rav Abba Ravuna Mistabalo Maisinish Choftala Navshe. And the Gemara says, and you know what, by the way, that is an absolutely plausible explanation. Remember, the father of Papa brought the Edom in order to clear him and give him a check, a clearance that he's not a Ramai. So you think he's going to bring an Edom who are going to go ahead and tell the court that he is in fact a Ramai? That's ridiculous. Of course, that's not why he brought them in. And Rashi over here says, you know, we have a general rule when it comes to Edus, and that is that once you submit testimony, you cannot recant on the testimony that you gave. And so, and so what Rashi is pointing out over here is that this doesn't fall into that category. Because we know from the onset that wasn't going to be their testimony. We know that. And because we know that, so therefore it doesn't qualify as Kevin Shehigit Shuvin Chozer Magid. Okay. Next Mishnah, Chav Chesamad Beis. Kol Davar She'osev Ochel Yasev Yochal. Okay, now here's where finding a lost item is going to get complicated. It's going to get onerous. And that is that you didn't find a ring, you didn't find a coat, you found an animal. Okay. And now what? You got to take care of the animal. That's amazing. That's rather amazing. So what we're going to do now in the Mishnah is that we're going to divide animal into two categories. Animals that can produce revenue and animals that cannot produce revenue. Right? You find somebody's dog, right? I'm sure the owner loves his dog, but that dog is useless. Okay? And I apologize to the dog-loving community. I also like dogs, but they are useless. They don't produce any revenue. And so, in other words, so when you find somebody's dog, so what are you going to do? You're going to keep feeding it? In other words, and by the way, for the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, how much should it cost you? Zero. Meaning that in the event that you're going to be taking care of the animal and that's going to cost, so those are all billable. Now, how exactly it gets billed, I'm sure it gets detailed and a little bit complicated. But in other words, what's not going to happen is that you're expected to take care of somebody's dog. And now just think it through. I mean, aside from the hassle, aside from the from all the work and effort that you put in. In other words, every time you buy a can of dog food, so you're going to be holding that receipt and collecting those receipts, and eventually you're going to be spending more on caring for the dog than the dog is actually worth. And it's not going to be worth it at that point in time for you to keep holding it, and where the expenses are going to be higher than the actual value of the animal itself. That can't be. Okay, so what the Mishnah now is about to teach us is the following, and that is, if it's a revenue-producing animal, so like an ox, like a cow, so then what you can do is that you can go ahead now and make revenue from it. Mind you, by the way, you found it and you're holding on to it. Where's the owner? Exactly, we're looking for him. So what you'll do now is that you'll make revenue with it. Either you'll use it yourself, or alternatively, you rent it out to somebody else. You make revenue with it while you're holding on to it. And that way, it basically feeds itself. In other words, you'll go ahead and produce the revenue. With that revenue, you will now feed it. Okay. And you will continue that loop until the owner comes back. The Gemara's first question, which we're going to get to momentarily, is, are you going to do that indefinitely? Like, how long is that going to last for? Hold that thought. The Gemara's going to ask that question. If it's a non-revenue producing animal, like the dog that I just spoke about moments earlier, so then what you're going to do is that it's... In other words, what are you going to do with the dog? You found a dog. You don't know where the owner is. You're going to go ahead and sell the dog. In other words, and with that money, now the money is a durable good. You'll hold on to that money until the owner finds you. And then you will tell the owner, here I am returning the lost item. Now, I lost my dog. I understand. But in other words, but the halacha does not expect me to just keep watching the dog in perpetuity. So what I did is I sold it. And now, what I'm giving you now is the money. Okay? And go ahead and purchase a new dog. No. Shalosh Regalim is just the amount of time that you announce. Over here, well, no, the Gemara is going to give different zmanim. Okay. Now, with all that stated, I said the Mishnah outside. Let's see the Mishnah all inside. Okay, so category number one is revenue-producing animals. Good. So what do you do with revenue-producing animals that you found? Produce revenue. Let it feed itself with the revenue that it produced. So yimaker shenemar vashivos alo rei hech tishiven alo. And so, and if a non-revenue producing animal that you found, sell it. That way you could do the mitzvah of hashava. Isn't it so funny? You're selling the animal so that you could do the mitzvah of hashava. But again, the context that I just explained, the Mishnah, it makes perfect sense. If I don't sell it, so what's going to end up happening is that I'm going to just keep diminishing from its value to the point in which its value now is down to zero. That's not hashava. So if I go ahead and sell it, now I can go ahead and hold on to the money, return the money to the owner, so we've salvaged it. Now, so you now have found a lost item. The owner, we don't know where he is right now. And you have you were halachically been given permission to sell the animal. So now you've sold the animal. So now, what do you do with the money? In other words, you hold the money. I understand. Can you use the money in the meantime? In other words, you're a shomer on that money. Can you use it? Rabbi Tafan Amar Yishamish Behem, Lefichach Im Avdu Chai Bachar Yusam. Rabbi Kiva Amar Yishamish Behem, Lefichach Im Avdu Ein Chai Bachar Yusam. We have a machlokis tanaim whether or not you can use the money. According to Shitas Rabbi Tarfon, you can use the money, which means you're a shomer on the money with the ability to use it, and therefore you're liable. Anything happens to that money, you're going to be liable. Okay. We're going to come back to that Shita Rabbi Tarfon in just a few moments from now. Now, le'olam, Gemara's first question is as follows. Even with a revenue producing animal, meaning here's the expectation is that you're going to just hold it in perpetuity. And, oh, don't worry about the money. It will provide for itself, meaning it's a revenue-producing animal. You could use it or you could rent it out to somebody else. And it will feed itself. That's great, but you're supposed to do this forever? La'olam? So I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Shmuel, Hashem, Asar Chodesh. Okay, good. So the Gemara quotes, B'Shem Shmuel, 12 months. 12 months, that's it. In other words, so if you will give the owner now 12 months to come and claim the animal that was lost, and in terms of how to feed the animal, you rent it out or whatever. It produces revenue, and it will be able to provide for itself. And 12 months is how much time? Tanya Namiachi, the Brisa, like this as well. Kol davish osev ochel kugom para v'chamor mitapa v'hem hashem asar chodesh mikan ve'elech sham. After 12 months, what do you do? So now seemingly you're going to bring it to Beis Din. In other words, shuma means an appraisal. Sham, you appraise it. Demehem uminichan. And then you, after appraisal, obviously you're selling it because that's why you're appraising it. And the money now you're going to be holding on to. Agalam v'sayachim etapa mem shlosha chadashim. Now, if the animal's a calf, if the animal is a foal, I think is how you say it. So then what you're going to do 3 months. Mikan ve'elech sham demehem uminichan. Afterwards, an appraisal, and then you sell it. Ivzim v'tarnigolim etapa mem shloshim yamim mikan ve'elech sham demeim uminicham. Okay, and when it comes to birds, so that is 30 days. Amar of Nachman Yitzchak Tanigol.
That means you can't use it, is that
what it is? No, what? What? No, we're not yet. No, we're not yet Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tafa. We're not there yet.
What does a manicham mean then?
Manicham means that the money's going to be staying by you. In other words, you're holding on to the money.
Can you use it?
That's a machlokes, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tanigolos kebehem agasa. Now, as far as a chicken is concerned, chicken's laying eggs. So that's going to be like a behem agasa, meaning that over here it's a very good revenue producing entity. Just it's laying eggs all the time. That has value. Tanya Amar Tanigol behem agasa matalba mem shem asar chodesh mikan ve'elech sham demeim uminicham. So the Gemara says, the Braisa says this as well, that the chicken's like a large animal. So and therefore 12 months. Now in this price, so same thing. We're going to talk about different animals. How long you're expected to watch them? Agal masayach metaba mem shloshim yom mikan ve'elech sham demeim uminicham. Ivzim v'tarnigol v'chol davar shetipul omeruba mischara metaba mem shloshim yomim mikan ve'elech sham demeim uminicham. Now I read the second price really quickly. So, but if you're listening carefully. If I'm listening carefully, so what you notice is that there are some basic discrepancies between this brisa that we just got read and the previous brisa, which also gave us these different types of animals. Again, the better revenue producing the animal it is, the longer you're expected to hang on to it. A maximum of 12 months, but then from there, depending on the animal, so it goes down from there. Now, kasha agal masayachim. But if you do a side-by-side comparison of the two brises, you will note that there is a discrepancy between the two brises. So, now, in one brisa, it says 3 months. In the other brisa, when it comes to Egel and Sayachim, it says 30 days. 3 months or 30 days. Oh, so that's a discrepancy. So the Gemara says, ha deraya, ha depituma. So as far as the one that says that 3 months, so we're talking about where feeding it is not a particularly big deal, raya. Raya says Rashi is, it's grazing, it's a grazing time of the year. A grazing time of the year where, in other words, you just take it out to the field and let it graze, and there's plenty out there to eat. However, if we're talking about where the season, it's not grazing season, and in order for you to feed it, so you're going to have to now go to the store and buy the food, that's pituma. You have to fatten the animal, meaning that basically you're going to have to buy the supplies in order to feed it. So now, even though it's a revenue-producing animal, but the cost is just higher. And since the costs are higher, so the expectation now is that you're not going to be holding it for 3 months, but rather just for 30 days. Good. Now, again, there's a discrepancy between birds, meaning in Brisa number one, it says 30 days, and Brisa number two, it says 3 days. So which one is it, 30 days or 3 days? So the Gemara says, Habirava vehabizutre. Depends if we're talking about large birds or small birds. So Rashi writes, large birds, ochlin harbei. They eat a lot, large birds, and therefore, no more than 3 days. Small birds, however, don't eat as much, and they're for 30 days. Okay. Visheina ose v'ochel. So fine. So we've just now covered the Mishnah, which is that if you find an animal, it's a revenue-producing animal. So what you're going to do is that you're going to rent out the animal, let it produce the revenue so that you can feed it, so it won't cost you to hold on to it, and you hold that position for, now it depends on the animal, and it depends on the yishuv that we just gave, but upwards to 12 months, let's say it like that, nice and simple, upwards to 12 months you're going to hold on to the animal, and after 12 months you go out and you sell it. If it's a non-revenue producing animal, so then what you do is you're going to sell it immediately. And now as far as the money's concerned, well, we'll get to the money in just a moment. In other words, the Bryce over here just says that if it's a non-producing animal, so what you want to do is you want to sell it so that there will be some recovery. There's a Rashi back in the Mishnah, which I didn't quote, which I will now. Right, Rashi over here says for it to go down in value, anything more than 50%, that's a loss. Well, the truth of the matter is, even up to 50%, that's a loss. But when the Torah says tishi venu lo, meaning you want it so that you're returning something to its owner. If you're returning anything less than 50% of what its value was, because it's eating, because of the cost to feed it, so now when the owner comes back, so thank you very much. And oh, by the way, here's the bill. And now the owner's getting it back, but now the bill is upwards of 50% of its value, greater than that. That's not hashava. Hashava means that you're going to be giving back basically its value. That's why when it's a non-revenue producing animal, so sell it immediately. Great. Okay.
Because the owner is willing to lose up to 50 in order to retain
his own. Right. Correct. Okay. And so now here's.
I don't understand the touch.
You're going to be selling. In other words, let's say the Bryce is talking about. Let's say, for example, you found two agalim, and in such a situation, in order to feed one, you're going to have to sell the other eagle.
That's not a golem. You're talking about It's not a non-revenue producing.
Yeah, right. I know the examples over here of Agalim and Sayachim, that also. In other words, those are revenue producing. Okay. Enachinami. The Bryce's examples over here are strange. And the Gemara's heading is She'ina Osev Ochel. Right, correct. Okay, it's a good observation. It's a good hara, I don't know. Okay. So here we are now in the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Beis, and so we begin a really big discussion today, and that's the following. You found the lost item, happened to have been an animal. You sold the animal, and you had every right to do so. Revenue producing, and you've now held it for too long, or non-revenue producing, and you sell it immediately, and now you have the money. So good, so now you're holding the money. Can I use the money? So this is a classic discussion of being a Shomer Aveda. So you found a lost item, so now can I make use of it, yes or no? In the Mishnah, Tzemach Lokit between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon says, yes, you can use it, and therefore, because you can use it, so your level of liability and responsibility increases, and Rabbi Akiva says, you can't use it, and therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, your level of liability for it is diminished. So far, so good. Ad kan lo pligi, we are now on the top of Chav Tes Amud Aleph, otherwise known as today's daf. Ela kishenishtamesh bahen, avalonishamesh bahem im avdu pater. Okay, now I'm going to explain the Gemara over here. I'll leave it to Rashi, just like Rashi explains it. I admit, right, and again, I'm not admitting. Many admit it's not fitting in perfectly to the words of the Gemara, but this is Rashi's pshat, and that is as follows. What are the ground rules over here? Meaning Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon are in fact having a debate whether you can or cannot use it. That part's true. But the ground rules of the debate is that if you can use it, you're going to be chayiv. Right. And that's exactly what Rashi says. Not whether you did or didn't use it. It's just whether a question of whether you can or you cannot. If you can use it, so you're going to be chayiv. If you can't use it, so then you're going to be potter. Okay, those are the ground rules. And then it's just a question of whether you can or you can't. Rabbi Tarfon says you can, Rabbi Kiva says you can't. But everyone's agreeing to the ground rules of this discussion. Lemet avitiyufta de Rav Yosef. And this brings us back to Rav Yosef. Which Rav Yosef? Beginning of the sixth perek of Baba Kama. So we were here not that long ago, a couple months ago. So what is it, Nun Vav and Baba Kama? I'd like to think so. So, Baruch Hashem, I got it. Right on the money. So the Gemara Baba Kama Nun Vav brings down what is a Shomer Aveda vis-a-vis his level of Shmira. And if you remember the Gemara over there are two options. It's machlokes between Rav Yosef and Rabba. Rav Yosef's of the position that he's a Shomer Sachar. He's a paid watchman. And Rabba says, no, he's a Shomer Chinam. Now, as we pointed out in the Gemara over there, Baba Kama, whose position makes much more sense, it's easier to explain Rabba. Of course. You're a Shomer Chinam. Right? Who's paying you right now? Nobody. Right? In other words, it's a lot of work and you're not getting paid. You're a Shomer Chinam. It's so much easier to explain. What's the pshat behind Rav Yosef that you're a Shomer Sachar? So if you remember the Gemara Baba Kama, so there are two explanations over there behind Rav Yosef. I would say there's a more popular explanation. Rashi, I say it's more popular. Rashi over here only gives this explanation. And that is that Oseg B'mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. Because what happens if you are watching at somebody's item and you get a knock on the door, someone's collecting tzedakah. Okay, that's a mitzvah. I'm right now currently tending to someone's lost item. That's also a mitzvah. Oseg b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. I don't have to answer the front door. I don't have to deal with him right now because I'm oseg b'mitzvah. I'm doing a mitzvah right now. Okay. And because of that, so therefore I'm getting paid. Okay, now, you think about it, by the way, this is a little bit difficult, meaning you're getting paid, you're saving money. Saving money is tantamount to getting paid. Okay, no. A penny saved is a penny earned.
Passive income.
Okay, good. So anyway, yeah. Okay, so that's one explanation of Rav Yosef, and the other explanation of Rav Yosef, which is less popular, although it's mefurish in the Gemara. And that is that, do you know why you're Shomer Sachar? Because you were instructed to go ahead and to watch it. Shomer Chinam, I'm going to give you the simple pshat of the Gemara over there. Shomer Chinam, nobody told me to do it, meaning I volunteered. But Shomer Sachar, I'm being paid to do so. So over here, I'm not getting paid in money, but in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me this is what I have to do. Okay, that's the other explanation of the Gemara over there. Regardless, according to Rav Yosef, when you are a Shomer Aveda, you are a Shomer Sachar. And so now it brings us now to the following discussion. Lema tavituyufta de Rav Yosef. Now, if you'll notice over here, you're a Shomer Aveda. Now, again, you sold it, and now the money and what to do with the money. Can you use the money? Can you not use the money? Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva. Now, but the Gemara now is pointing out, if we held like Rav Yosef, now what? The Itmar Shomer Aveda Rabba Amar Kishomer Chinam Rav Yosef Amar Kishomer Sachar. So according to Rabbi, you're a Shomer Sachar, which means that according to Rabbi, you are always going to be liable. Shomer Sachar is Chay Begneva VaAveda. So you're always going to be liable. So what's going on in our Mishnah over here? Tanayim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon. Whether you're chayev, whether you're pater, meaning Rav Yosef says, you're always going to be chayev. What's happening in our Mishnah over here? What are Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon even talking about? Amalecha Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, okay, just everyone breathe. I'm here. Let me help you. Begneva ve'aveda dekol amalo pligi dechayev. Rabbi Yosef would say as follows. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon are not talking about Geneva ve'aveda. You're a shomer aveda. Again, aliba to my position. Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Sachar. You're Chayv and Geneva of Aveda. Everyone agrees to that. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon, we're never talking about that. Ki pligi ba'onsen deshoel. It's the next level of liability. In other words, are you going to be Chayv also on Ones? Are you like a Shoel? Rabbi Tarfon, so according to Rabbi Tarfon, that's what he's saying. That the Chachamim gave you absolute license and permission to use that money. To use the money. And so therefore, you're more than just a Shomer Sachar. Rabbi Tarfon says, you're a Shomer Sachar plus. Well, what's a Shomer Sachar plus? You're a Shoel. You're Chayiv Ba'onsin. And Rabbi Akiva, Savalo Shavu Le Rabban L'Shemush B'Gavai Hukachlo Avishol Alayim. And what Rabbi Akiva will tell you is that, no, your level of liability stops at Shomer Sachar. It doesn't go above Shomer Sachar. Why not? Because you're not allowed to use it. And so the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon, as explained by Rav Yosef, is only a question of whether or not you're chayv ba'onsin. Ihachi, the Gemara says, okay, it happens to be an excellent shot in the Mishnah. It's just right now we're stuck on one.
Why should he be a shomer if he cannot use the money?
Because again, either the svara of osik b'mitzvah patam na mitzvah, that's one, or because he was instructed to watch it. One of those two. Whichever Svara and Baba Kama. Okay. So, if this is true, so according to Rabbi Akiva, what's the Lefichach? Meaning, Rabbi Akiva makes this pronouncement. Therefore. So, Rabbi Kiva Amar Lishamash Mem Lefichach Im Avdu Eino Chay Bachar Yusam. Sagadat Chama Amina Shomer Sachar Havayechid Rav Yosef Ugneva Vaveda Mechayev Kamash Malan Lefichach. If Rav Yosef is not correct, and if what Rabbi Kiva is saying is that you're not allowed to use it, and therefore you have no liability, that Lefichach is coming strong. That Lefichach is telling me, I'm not going to be chayiv in Ones. More than that, I'm not going to be chayiv in Gneva. I'm not going to be chayiv in Aveda. Meaning then I'm hearing the Lefichach of Rabbi Akiva. But Hashad Amar, lo yishtamish bahem, shomer sachar lo havi v'lo mechayiv b'gneva v'aveda. I'm sorry, that was the end of the previous sentence. Okay, pause. Ela'i Amar, but if you're going to say it like Rav Yosef, and that is Gneva v'aveda t'kolem lo pligi d'chayiv, v'chi pligi ba'onsin d'shoal. Malafichach to Rabbi Akiva. So the Hachimi Baile Lemisne, Rabbi Kiva Amar Lishamish Bem, Vani Adana de Kivan Lishamish Bem, Lav Shalahu Ve'enu Chai Ber Chuyusam. Lafichach to Rabbi Akiva Lamali. Gemara here is a little wordy, but the Gemara wants to know. But if Rabbi Yosef is right, let me hear the big pronouncement of Rabbi Akiva. Are you Chayv and Geneva Ve'aveda? Yeah. Because, again, you're a Shomer Sachar. And Rabbi Akiva says, Lafichach, therefore. Therefore? Therefore, the only thing you're not going to be chayiv for is onis. It's not a strong lefichach. If Rav Yosef was wrong, then the lefichach is, therefore, I'm not chayiv on onis, I'm not chayiv on geneva, I'm not chayiv on aveda. But if all the exemption here is only on onis, what are you saying lefichach, therefore? And mishum lefichach the Rabbi Tarfon, the Gemara says, anechinami. So you're stuck on that one word? Okay, don't get stuck on that one word. Lefichach of Rabbi Akiva is just there to parallel the Lefichach of Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, great. You know what's coming next. What's the Lefichach of Rabbi Tarfon? Fichach to Rabbi Tarfon Lamali, Hachi Kamar, Kevin to Shirley, Rabban Lishamush Begavayo, Kamandi Shamish Begavayo Dami. Beautiful. Meaning that because you are allowed to use it, halacha views it as if you already used it, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. Meaning your liability is not a function of your actual use. Your liability is just a function of you could use it. That's a chiddush. Therefore, we're going to stamp that with a lefichach. That's the lefichach of Rabbi Tarfon. Veha avdo kitani. We're in the very bottom of Chav Tes Amud Aleph. Oh, that was one of the quickest amudim, which is great. We need to catch up. So then the lefichach new point. Veha avdo kitani. In the Mishnah, it says, if I lost it. Now, wait one second. According to Rav Yosef, this entire Amud, by the way, is a defense of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says that Hashem Raveda is Hashem Sachar. You're Chayv and Geneva Vaveda. The only Petur is for Ones. And again, that's only according to Rabbi Tarfon. That's only according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Tarfon, you're Chayv and Ones. So now, go back to the Mishnah. Read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Im Avdu, if you lost it. Well, what do you mean? According to Rav Yosef, you're always going to be chayvan gneva v'aveda. So the Gemara says, "Kidderabba damer rabba nignevu balista mezuyim avdu shetavas v'nasa b'yam." So the Gemara says, "No, Rav says that when we're talking about gneva, we're talking about list mezuyim. You were held up. Held up. That's ones. Someone points a gun at you and says, give me your money. That's not gneva. Yes, it is." Meaning, from the standpoint of liability, that's ones. That's beyond your control. Right, correct. And avdo shetavas v'nasa b'yam. When we say lost, it doesn't mean you misplaced it. Avdo over here means that you was on the boat and the boat went down in the water. That's ones. Okay. Where are we right now? So we just spent an entire amud of shas, right? Bab mitzia chav tes amud aleph, all in service of defending Rav Yosef. A Shomer Aveda, according to Rav Yosef, is a Shomer Sachar. Again, two svaras why that should be. That's the Gemara Baba Kama Nun Vav. And our Gemara says, but our Mishnah? So the Gemara teaches up Rav Yosef according to our Mishnah. Meaning in our Mishnah, Bein Le Rebbe Kiva, Bein Le Rebbe Tarfon, you're a Shomer Sachar. And again, this is all as Rav Yosef would see it. You're a Shomer Sachar. So then what are they arguing about? Liability, no liability. They're arguing about Onis. Okay. And that means that according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, you're going to be Pater from Onsen, and according to Rabbi Tarfon, you're going to be Chayv and Onsen. Good. Yeah, that's correct. In other words, does he have the same his Chayvus as a Shoal? I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lachik Rabbi Tarfon, and now the Gemara paskins that the halach, in fact, is like Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, rather amazing. In other words, so you found a lost item, and so now you sold the item because it's something that you're allowed to sell, and now what can you do with the money? So the halach, like Rabbi Tarfon, according to Shmuel, which is that you could use the money. You have license to use the money. Obviously, we'll make two obvious points. One more obvious than the next. The first obvious point is that obviously you're using the money. In other words, when the owner comes back, you got to produce that money. And then the next point now is that the halach is like Rabbi Tarfon, and that is that because you can use the money, so therefore you're going to be fully liable with that money. Even ones, you're chayiv. So
you never have to use back the same money. Money is money.
Right. Correct.
You can use it in...
You're 100%, by the way. But in other words, your level of responsibility, let's say something happens to the money that was beyond your control. Right. Now the halach is that you're going to be chayev. So, biyad rachva havalei hanu zuzi diasme. Rachva, that's the name of an amora. So he had money of yisomim. So, and it was deposited by him, meaning he was asked to watch it. He's a shomer. Now, granted, over here, it's not a shomer aveda. Recognizing that small distinction, but still, he's a shomer. Also, coming to Rav Yosef, Amarle, Maili Ishta Musha Begavayu. So they went to Rav Yosef and they asked him, can I use the money? Amarle Hacham Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halachik Rabbi Tarfon. Well, I know the Mishnah Bava Metzia, and I know that Shmuel said the halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon. In other words, everything we just learned today, with the conclusion being that the halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon. Amrei Abay v'labit mar la amrei bichal ba amrei v'huna lo shenu v'labit demei. Aveda ho v'tarach ba. Ava maus aveda. The lo tarach ba hu lo. So v'hani ke maus aveda dami. So now, this idea of Rabbi Tarfon that I could use the money, we're going to make a very basic distinction. This is what Abai is telling Rav Yosef. And the basic distinction is as follows. If I find somebody's money, not an animal, I find somebody's money, do I have a shus to use that money? No. Because what did I do to get that money? Nothing. The only heter, Rabbi Tarfon, that I could use the money is where? I found an animal. And man, did I just go through a lot. I found the animal, and now the owner, I don't know where he is, and what do I do with the animal? So I'm going to ask my Rav. My Rav will see the Mishnah, but Mitzia, is it revenue producing? Is it not revenue producing? Either way now, I will sell it at one point in time. And I just went through a lot of tircha. Then in that situation, Rabbi Tarfon will now give you the license and permission, go ahead and use the money. But if what you found to begin with is money, then you're not going to be able to use it. So this is what Abai says to Rav Yosef. And what happened? Yisomim gave you money to watch. You didn't go through a lot of tircha to get that money. In other words, they gave you money to watch. You can't go ahead and use that money. That's no different than money that you found.
Why should he be a shoyl if it's a he was metapel on the behemoth? So before that, we allow you to use it. So that should make you into a shoyl that you chayv b'etzus?
Yeah, that's exactly what Rabbi...
It should be really like a shomer socha, basically.
Okay, I hear, but I'm telling you that's what Rabbi Tarfon says. Okay. So, kemaus aveda dami. So, amar le zil, lo shafka li dasher lach. Story ends off a little bit funny. Rav Yosef says to Rachva, look, I want to be matir, meaning you're asking me if you can use the money. And in my thought process, I was ready to say yes. The only problem is that I have my Talmud right here, Abaye, and he's making chilukim, and he's telling me not to, I'd love to be matir, but I can't. Right? That's the lashon of the Gemara. Lo shafku li da'ashrei lach. They're not going to let me be matir. Okay. I want to be a mako, but the Talmidim are telling me to be machmer. Okay. And over here, by the way, in the notes, it's really good. In other words, generally speaking, when you're a dayan and you're coming out from, you know, from the discussion with the other dayanim, you're not allowed to tell people what my position was, what his position was. And over here, like the Rav Yosef is telling him, look, here was my position. But then the Talmud told me not to, and my Abaye told me not to do that. He very, very good, very good. What's it called? I'd like to give credit because he quotes. Who does he quote over here? He quotes the Shita Mekubetzes. That's exactly what he says. That they were all together. They were all together in the basement. Okay, great.
The guy finds money, he can't do it. What's he going to bother with? Is it reliable? Why should he pick it up?
That's the Torah. What you just said is the Torah lo sisale mimenu, meaning, right? In other words, you're not going to. Well, why would you want to be metapel? It's such a headache, and then it's a mitzvah, and the Torah says, and don't hide your eyes from it. Enachinami. It's hard. Okay, matzah svarim. We're now by the mission on chaf testament base, and now what happens is that you find a safer. Okay, so what do? So in other words, over here, there is going to be maintenance. It's not like the animal, but still there's going to be maintenance. So what do? So matzah svarim, so karibem echel shoshiyom. So what you do now is that you read it once every 30 days. Now keep in mind, by the way, sefer, when the Mishnah is writing about svarim, so every one of us has a sefer in front of us. That's great. That's not what the Mishnah is making reference to. The sefer that the Mishnah is making reference to are scrolls, cloth. Right, Sifrei Torah, Sifrei Nevi'im, Sifrei Ksuvim. So over here, it's rolled up. And I can tell you, by the way, Baruch Hashem, I've owned my Megillah for a long time. So in other words, it gets worn out over the course of time. And especially when you roll it onto itself. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that basically you have to air it out. Now, so what you do is you air it out once every 30 days. Now, the Mishnah does say you read it. We're gonna explain that point even better in just a moment. Now, let's say you don't know how to read. Okay. It's right. Just just so casually by the Mishnah is describing that. In other words, it wasn't uncommon back in the day. You knew you didn't know how to read. So then the Golan. Okay, but you still have to maintain it. So what you're going to do is you're just going to simply roll it out once every 30 days. And lo yikra acher imo. Okay, but here's what you're not going to do. What you're not going to do is that you're not going to learn it up. Okay, in other words, you're now interested in learning a parsha for the very first time. Okay, not now. Why not? Because what you're going to do now is that you're going to keep it open to one place for a long period of time. That's not maintenance. In fact, you're going to wear it down. And lo yikare achirimo, and having a chavrusa over it, that's also it's also no good, because once again you're going to be hacking over one particular sugya, and you're going to keep it open on that one location. And again, that's not maintenance, but that's you're wearing it out. Matzik sus menara echel shoshem yom. And now let's do that with clothing. What you do with clothing is that you air it out once every 30 days. Vishot chalat zarcha avalol chlodo. And what you're going to do is that you're going to spread it out for its need, but not for your need. Meaning, let's say it's really, really nice drapes that you found. But yeah, I'm just making the point of the Mishnah. And now what you want to do is that you want to air it out. But they're really beautiful. So you know what I'll do? I'll air it out in the front of my house, showing it off to other people. That you're not allowed to do. That's the Mishnah telling us about lo lechvodo. Klei kesef klei nechoshes mishamish mem letzarchan avalolishachkan. So, when it comes to metal that you found, metal utensils, silver, bronze, so what you could do is that you can use it at times. Somehow, that's maintenance. I don't understand that, but that's fine. In other words, the Mishnah is assuming that there's a certain amount of usage that qualifies as maintenance. Okay, however that works. But lishach kan, but in other words, to wear it down, that you're not allowed to do. Now gold and glass, so that's something which is really delicate, and no. And don't use it at all. In other words, over there, just hold on to it. It's a funny language of the Mishnah. Meaning hopefully what you're waiting for it to happen is the owner coming. So either it'll be the owner or it'll be Eliyahu Hanavi. But the point of the Mishnah is that you're just simply not allowed to you're not allowed to handle it. And then finally at the end of the Mishnah, let's say Sako Kupa, something that's really inferior in nature. And there it is lying on the floor. So there what you could do is you could just simply walk away. You don't have to pick it up. I know that sounds strange, by the way. We just spent an entire parrot talking about where you're required to pick it up. And the Mishnah over here concludes with, you know, that you don't have to pick up. You're right. You already know the answer. I was setting ourselves up. So why over there? So let's hold off on that. Rav Chaim said it, but the Gemara is going to speak it out. We'll come back to that. Okay, we start off with the Gemara. The Gemara is going to say something a little bit shocking. You find a pair of tefillin. What should you do? You should appraise it, sell it, and hold on to the money. And when the owner comes back, says, look, I found your tefillin. Oh, but in other words, but I sold it, and here's the money for the tefillin. Now, what? Right, what? Meaning, the Gemara right away, Mesev Ravina Matzah Sfarim Korim Be'am Echel Shoshim Yom Yimene Yodol Kros Golan. So Golan in, Sham Demeim Manichim Lo. What are you talking about? We just learned the Mishnah together. The Mishnah just told us that if you find a Sefer Torah, or any Sfarim, so you maintain it. Open it up every 30 days. But in other words, but you don't sell it. And meanwhile, with the tefillin, what do you do when you find tefillin? Sell it. What? So I'm Rabbi Tefillin Bar Bar Chavu Mishkach Shichi. Tzvarim lo Shichi. Mark gives such an interesting answer. And that is when it comes to tefillin, you know, tefillin are a dime a dozen. Now, I wish tefillin are a dime a dozen, by the way. Tefillin are not a dime a dozen. And Baruch Hashem, right, I'm making a bar mitzvah in the not so distant future. And newsflash, they're not cheap. So but the Gemara's point is as follows. And that is that Mishkach Shichi, they're totally available. In other words, that this is a commodity that's so easy to buy and sell. And by the way, I don't have the time right now, I'm not gonna share it with you, but he quotes Achronim in the notes over here, right? Don't get emotional about your tefillin. Whatever. I'll reserve some of it, but in other words, but they're there for the purpose of the mitzvah. So the owner of the tefillin, look, in other words, I'm right now supposed to take care of your tefillin, but I don't know where the owner is. So what you'll do is you'll sell it. You'll give the money to the owner. He'll go ahead and he'll buy tefillin, and they're perfectly accessible. But when it comes to Sfarim lo shchicha, right? A Sefer Torah is not easy to replace. So therefore, with a Sefer Torah, so the proper method of handling is maintenance. Tenor Rabbanan Hashol Sefer Torah Mechaver Ezeh Lo Yishalen Alacher Leposcho Vekore Bo Vavashalo Yomar Bo Betchila. Borrowing a Sefer Torah from your friend, so what you, first of all, what you're not allowed to do is lend it to somebody else. What you then are allowed to do is open it, read it, but in other words, but not sit on a sugya. So, v'lo yikareach achirimo, don't have a chavrusa over it, because again, you're going to be sitting on one spot. V'chol ha-mafkid b'sefer Torah etzel chaveru golo kol 12 chodesh. Now, if somebody leaves the Sefer Torah by somebody else to watch, so what you do is you roll it every 12 months. So, poscha v'karebo im b'shvilo p'sacho aser. Now, while you're doing maintenance, you want to read it, that's fine. But to open it in order to read it, that you're not allowed to do. Simchas omer b'chadash. So, shoshim yom. If it's a brand new Sefer Torah, so there requires more maintenance, more frequent maintenance, once every 30 days. Uvi yashan, shnemasar chodesh. An older Sefer Torah does not need that much maintenance, 12 months of rolling. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov omer echadzeh v'echadzeh, shnemasar chodesh, and Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov says no. The maintenance schedule for a Sefer Torah is 12 months, regardless of whether it's new or old. Amar Mar. Okay, so let's cover a few quick points over here. Shol Sefer Torah mechaveru, harizol yishen la'acher. So if you borrow a Sefer Torah, so you're not allowed to lend it to somebody else. My area Sefer Torah, you probably were thinking this question, right? You're not. You borrow something, you can't lend it to somebody else. Dafka Sefer Torah? No, that's true by anything you borrow. When you borrow something, you are the end user or the end buyer. You can't go ahead and just lend it to somebody else. You don't have that authority to do that. So my year is a tarfa if you call me Lenamid. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Kan shana Rabbi. Ein asho rasha la shel ve'ein asocha rasha la skir. Just because of time, I'm not going to go through it. See Rashi over here. See the Gemara in Gittin. Chavtes. It happens to be Chavtes and Gittin. We're in Chavtes and Bamitzia. The Gemara Chavtes and Gittin. Anyway. Shoal is not allowed to be mashal, period. Let's just keep it nice and simple. So, Sefer Torah, it's the Rechle, Ma'udetema, Nichalei Linashit, Avin Mitzvah, Bemamone, Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, yeah, the Sefer Torah, I could have rationalized. And I could have said as follows. Well, I'm borrowing a Sefer Torah, you don't think I'm allowed to lend it to somebody, else? In other words, I'm going to be learning, he's going to be learning a mitzvah. It's beautiful. That's a rationalization. No. No. If you're a Shoel, so that means he gave you right to borrow it. That doesn't mean that you have the authority to go ahead and to lend it to somebody else. And the Sefer Torah, you could have justified it. Don't justify. Poscho v'karebo. So pshita. So ela lamai shaylaminei. Sefer tzerech levavash lo yomod bo betchila. Now you borrow Sefer Torah, you can open it, and you can read it. Isn't that why you borrowed it? Meaning, what's the mission? What's the price of coming to teach me? The Gemara's price is coming to teach me. Yeah, but to sit in one spot for a lengthy period of time, so that you're not allowed to do that was the point of the brisa. V'chein amafkid Sefer Torah etzel chaveru golo kol shem etzel chodesh poscha v'karebo. So my avida te gabe. So if you were asked to be a shomer, not a shoel. So what do? You open it and you read it. The Gemara says, that part of the Braisa, I am not understanding. So visu im bishvelo psacho aser. So if you're doing it for yourself, then that would be aser. Ha amart poscha v'karebo. Now, even in the Braisa, I'm confused. Because the Braisa says that you're allowed to open and read it, which I didn't understand to begin with. And then the Braisa also follows up with, oh no, by the way, if you're reading it for yourself, what do you mean you're not allowed to? So hachi kamar. Im kishu golo poscha v'karebo im bishvilo poscha aser. So again, the pshan, the breisa, it's exactly what we said back in the Mishnah. And that is that, look, during maintenance, meaning you're not, if you're a shomer, you're not allowed to open and read it. But if during maintenance, in other words, you are required to open it up for maintenance purposes, if during maintenance you want to read it, that you're allowed to do. That's the point. Sumchus Omer. Yeah, let's just finish off over here. Sumchus Omer, Chadash Hashem Yom, Yashin L'Shem HaSachosh, Rebbe Lezman Yaakov, Echazeh V'Echazeh, Hashem HaSachodesh. Again, the maintenance schedule is a machlokas tanayim. Once every 30 days for a new one, according to Simchas, 12 months for an old one. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it's always going to be 12 months. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Hainu Tanakama. Now, that's great, by the way, but again, if you're following, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov just repeated what the Tanakama told us. So, Elaima, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amar Echa, Zev, Echa, Zev, Shoshim Yom. Okay, in other words, we're going to have to change the girsa of the Breisa, because we can't have Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov just being a repeat of the Tanakama. It can't be. So what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that he will always be of the position that a maintenance schedule for the Sefer Torah is once every 30 days. Okay, good. We're going to pause over here. Beautiful.